Lord, I worship you, my God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Let me turn your attention to a very short portion of Scripture, Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 26. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's very good to see your smiling faces. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. And that is, some may call that a cliche, but it's just a real thing in my life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" It's my scripture text or my title for today. Who's on the Lord's side? "Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking, Lord, even now, Lord, that your anointing would be upon every part of this service. God, that you'd bless the children and their classes. I pray that you would help us in the sanctuary. I pray that you would, God, even anoint me, Lord, to say that of the Holy Ghost. Put words in my mouth and open our hearing. And, Lord, let the Holy Ghost, let the Spirit of God just be preeminent. God, just let it your name be first and foremost. And, Lord, do your will here today, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? Yeah, I want to raise my hand. I want to volunteer. I want to say, it's me. I'm on the Lord's side. I praise the Lord. I worship Him. Praise the Lord. But if you look at this portion, this part of Scripture, Moses was not happy. You see, he had just had a supernatural experience with God. He was on the mountain. He received those tablets. They were written there by the very finger of God. He had something from God for the people. He was on that 40 days in the mountain, and he was coming down, and look what he saw. What is the sound of the singing that I hear? What is that? He saw, there's some here that already know, he saw a golden calf. They had made an golden idol. While he was having an experience with God on the mountaintop, and he came down and was furious, mad. What's going on here? Who is on the Lord's side? Amen. It's a captivating question. Because really, every one of us is going to decide. No one can make you be on the Lord's side. There is no draft. There's no mandatory service. There is no way to make someone live for God. You will either choose to live for the Lord or you will not live for God. Moses, in this little portion of Scripture, was furious because the people they didn't know where he was. He's been gone for so long. Maybe he's dead. I don't know. He left. He didn't come back. Haven't heard anything. I don't know what's going on. And they gave all their golden earrings and their finger rings and their jewelry. They gave the gold stuff they had. They melted it down. And get this. Got thrown into the fire and out came a calf. You know, the excuses of the world are bizarre. Oh, it just happened like that. Oh, it just came out. No, I agree. There's a couple people in here that think like me. I think there was intervention there was intervention by people. You know, people can get themselves in trouble. Amen. The devil didn't have to make you do it because people get yourself in trouble. Amen. Well, these people were in trouble. They were, for a short time, without the leadership of Moses, because he was on the mountain, he was out of their sight. He didn't see them anymore. They didn't see him anymore. But you know what? We should never be dependent on somebody else to live for God. Amen. You got to decide, I am going to live for God no matter what. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter the condition of the world, no matter the condition of our society or my friendships or my family. It doesn't matter what's going on anywhere. You got to decide to live for God. In fact, our society, our community, our nation, in fact, our world is plagued with a lethargy or indifference. It's like they don't even consider or care about the things of God. There's a mentality, if you will, a don't get involved. Don't say anything. Or a I don't care attitude. It has become the way, the modus operandi, if you will, the way that so many Americans think. So what is the origin of this do nothing, stand for nothing mentality that has gripped our world? We are, I say we, I mean the people that are in their 60s, 50s, 60s, maybe even 70s, and down, we are the first generation on the face of the earth that has ever had social media tell us how to think. You know, it started when I was a child with black and white television on a blinking screen that rolled. That was a long time ago. I remember that. I got one comment. I'm not the only one. But way back then, those television programs had everybody smoking, you know, and drinking, and, you know, it was driving our society in a path that was away from God. But then, as the generation went on, as I got older, and, you know, my children grew up, there was color television, and everything was pretty vivid then. Well, now it's high definition, you know, televisions almost as big as the movie theaters used to be in your home. And so vivid and so clear that your eye can't even tell the difference if it's real or not. You know, it's just super high definition, vivid color in your living room. And it's still pointing you primarily, if you're not very, very, very careful, in a direction away from God. Showing you, teaching you, bringing you to a place that is not closer to God, but away from God. Our world is influenced by that media, by those methods of communication. You know, we are that generation that has received its values from a screen. Very liberal, often immoral. Media has been setting standards of behavior and beliefs for the vast majority of Americans. Societal criticism, political pressure, and the doctrine of extreme tolerance have caused the Christian world to back away from long accepted moral standards and biblically based perceptions, perspectives that are in line with the Bible. You know, it's not politically acceptable to say biblical standards are godly. But they are. God still wants us to live holy. Amen. God still wants us to have one man should have one woman as a mate. And they should be married. Amen. Before creating children. That may not be popular, but it's still a biblical standard. Amen. Amen. A man should look like a man, and a woman should look like a woman. Amen. There is a distinction. But our society wants to mix it up. Our society wants to say it's normal to... They want to say things that are grossly not moral and not normal to say that I'm the one that's wrong because I believe in the Bible. You know, that my thinking has been tainted. I have been brainwashed. I've been washed by the Word. I stopped thinking that old way when I started believing the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a whole bunch of people in our world that needs to have their brains washed. Take that crazy stuff out. People who once represented moral backbone of our nation and of our community, they somehow have stood on the sidelines in utter silence. Amen. We really do need to believe the Word of God. We really do need to live a holy life. We really do need to speak out for Jesus. When David, in the Old Testament, arrived in the Valley of Elah, sent by Jesse, his father, to check on his three sons, his older brothers. See, they were soldiers in the battle of Saul's army to check on the progress of the battle. Jesse sent him there, had some cheeses for the captain and some food for his brothers, and he was to bring word again unto his father on how his sons were and how was the battle going, and he was to bring a news report. David found on that hillside an army that was intimidated by a giant of a man, a Philistine named Goliath. He was huge, 9 feet tall, was head to toe in armor. He was a man of war. And he spoke out blasphemies against God and against God's people and against his army and against the king. 1 Samuel 17, verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. And we're sore afraid. Sometimes it looks like you look at things with your eye. You look at things in the carnal nature of things. When you look at things in the world as they appear, it seems like, man, that guy is just, I don't want to fight him. I don't want to go to battle with that guy. Send me a man that we may fight. He was daring them. Send one man and we'll fight to the death. If I win, then you will serve me. But if he wins, then we will serve you. Send me a man. He was out there just daring them. Send me someone. The soldiers, the king, the generals, the captains, the soldiers were afraid. I hope they don't pick me. No hands going up at that time. No volunteers in the crowd then. Nobody. Nobody would volunteer to fight that battle. They were sore afraid. David, he was the youngest of Jesse's sons. He speaks up. Verse 26. David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" For, again, get this part. This is really good. David, a youth, a young person, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He was, I can feel the anger in his voice. This guy shouldn't be talking like that. Somebody needs to stand up to this guy. This guy cannot remain unanswered. This guy has got to go. I can almost feel the emotion in this words in the scripture. I can almost feel in my own self how David would have felt hearing those things from this giant. His elder brother and three of his brothers, they were shaking in their shoes, just like all of the other soldiers around them, because if they stood up or they said so, "Oh, then you go fight." They were afraid that they would be chosen to go. They heard David, they saw what he was doing, and they tried to get David to be quiet. Tried to shush him down. Tried to make him stop saying things. You see, he wasn't in the army. He couldn't be drafted. He couldn't be sent to go there. He wouldn't be called upon to fight this giant in natural terms. His older brethren tried to quiet him down. "Who do you think you are talking like that? I know why you're here. I know the naughtiness of your heart." He's being accused of things that he is not guilty of. His dad sent him there. He was obeying his father's wishes. He had brought the gifts and brought the word, and he intended to bring word again to his father. "I know the naughtiness of your heart. You came down just to see the battle." That's not true. You know, he had a right heart. His indignation and righteousness before God was being stirred by the presence of the Lord that was within him. He was mad because of what he saw going on. And like David, like he was feeling every time a child of God, it happens even today, when a child of God determines to take a stand for right, when a man or a woman of God, a mom or a dad, or a pastor or a saint determines, "I will serve the Lord." Amen. Who do you think you are to tell us what's right and wrong? You're being judgmental. The Word is the judge. Okay, I don't have to decide because the Word has already decided. Amen. You just want to argue. Stay out of things. Don't worry about it. Let people do what they want to do. It's still going on today. It's still prevalent in our whole society. It's still prevalent in the block where you live, in the city where you live. It's still prevalent in our community today. David, he was provoked by the giants challenged against God and against God's people. That he heard the challenge in it, it provoked him. You know what? When we see the things that are going on in the world, it shouldn't draw us into sin. Amen. It should draw us closer to God. We need to depend upon God. I need God. I need the preaching of the Word of God. I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost in God. I need to have the presence of the Lord. I need to be renewed in my spirit. I need to be strengthened in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I need it. I need to be drawn. I should see the things in the world and be drawn closer to God. It should provoke me. It provoked David. While all of Israel saw a giant of a man, and he was, David saw a man who was a speck of dust compared to God. Little dust on my screen. Excuse me. All right, it's gone now. Little speck of dust. People who have made the decision take. People who have decided to serve the Lord, decided to take the Lord's side, who have decided, I will live for God all the rest of my days. I will live for God as long as I have breath. I will live for God no matter what comes, no matter what goes. I will live for God because He is. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord my Savior. He is my hope and my salvation. He is. I will live for God at all times. In every situation, no matter who takes the opposite side. Those people that decide to live for God, those people that trust in the Lord, they don't run from a battle. They don't have to run. Amen. The Lord is on their side. Amen. You don't have to run from the things in the world. The Lord is on my side. Amen. I don't have to run because the Lord is with me. He's for me. King Saul was told that this boy was out there, one of Jesse's sons, and that he was talking big about this giant, and he was provoked by God, and he was saying that he would go and fight the giant. Maybe Saul thought, Jesse's sons, Eliab is the oldest, it must be him. He's in the army, he's thinking it's the eldest. Or maybe Abinadab, the second oldest. But he had no idea that it was Jesse's youngest son. It's the little guy. It's the young boy. He's the one. He is challenging the giant. Yes, it's David's youngest son, David. He's just a teenage boy. probably doesn't even shave yet. He's not a warrior. He's a shepherd boy. He fights not with a sword and a spear and a shield, but with a little strip of leather and a little sling and a stone. He throws rocks. I thought it was interesting. I was telling this story to one of my co-workers. He was an engineer at Electric Boat. He goes, "Well, don't be so sure that, you know, David had the advantage. He did. In fact, I'm going to do the calculations and I'll bring it to you and I'll show you." He did. I have it at home. I could show it on the screen, but I didn't bring it with. But that stone in the hand of a slinger had the impact of a .45 caliber pistol. It said that stone sunk, hit him in the forehead, and sunk into it, broke through his skull and entered his brain. And he died. He was standing there with a rock in his brain, dead. And then he fell over, and David cut off his head. You know, that slinger was the equivalent of a .45 caliber pistol. David came to that fight with the advantage. Got a guy with a knife at the door. Okay, he's got a .45. You're not afraid. You come to a fight, you're going to lose this fight. And, you know, he had killed the lion. He had killed the bear. He had known that God is on his side. David went with full confidence. David was not afraid of the giant. He was not fearful like the rest of the soldiers in the army. He was absolutely sure God has done it before. This guy is blaspheming the name of God and he must stop. He had full confidence God is going to see me through. You know, he ran over to meet that guy. Praise the Lord. But his brothers, they said all kinds of, "You're but a youth. This giant is going to tear you limb from limb. He's going to feed your carcass to the birds." You know, they were saying all kinds of bad stuff. They were trying to scare him. David was not scared. I tell you, when you know God is on your side, the world is going to try to scare you. Do you know that you might get COVID? Ooh. Do you know that you could die? You know what? Go to church anyway. Go to the house of God and worship Jesus anyway. Who is on the Lord's side? They were saying, "He's going to tear you limb from limb, feed your body to the birds. Who put such a fool notion in your head? Why are you thinking like that?" 1 Samuel 17, verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Amen. Is there not a reason? Amen. Don't you hear what this guy's saying? Don't you know who our God is? Jumping down, verse 34, 1 Samuel 17. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out before him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth." He saved the little lamb. "And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. This guy deserves to die. David said, moreover, verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're so sure that God is with you and that God is going to deliver you. You're not going in your own strength. You're going in the strength of your God. Then go ahead. You know, they tried to give him a sword and they tried to put that armor on him. Can you imagine David with a sword strapped to his side and he's holding a spear that's way taller than him and he's trying to hold clinkety clink like the Tin Man. Clinkety clink, 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 clink. No, I can't fight with that stuff. You know what? You cannot fight this spiritual battle with worldly things. You can't fight a spiritual battle knowing only the things of the world. You cannot fight a spiritual battle and win for God when you are trusting in the things of the flesh. You can't trust in your own understanding. You can't trust in your own strength. You cannot trust in the things of the world. But you can trust God. You can trust the Lord. You can trust what the Word of God says. You can trust the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. This Philistine, a type of sin, if you will, has defied God. Isn't that cause enough? Sometimes you have to step out of your place of comfort. And the place that you found easy in life, you may have to take a stand. Step out of the easy place and step into the battle. Let your voice be heard. Say something for God. Live for the Lord. Amen. Sometimes the challenge may seem like a formidable giant. That is an unmovable mountain. How could you fight that giant when you're a boy? Well, you can do it in the Lord. How could you fight a society or a government or the school system? How can you fight the things that are mountains all around us? Sometimes it really does feel like you're swimming against the tide. That you're just being swept up and floating along with all that is going. That you're there without assistance and without support. When you come face to face, you'll recognize it when you see it, something that is wrong. David saw that giant, he heard what he said, and he knew he was wrong. There's going to be things in your life, the Holy Ghost is going to tell you, that is wrong. Don't do it, don't go there, that is wrong. Then your gut is compelling you. Man, I got to stand up. I can't do that. I can't go there. Amen. It can, all of a sudden, be a very lonely place. You may be the only one on your job that will stand for God. You might be the only one in your family, but stand for God. Amen. Stand for God. At least I hope I'm not being misunderstood. I am not advocating that people be belligerent. I am not advocating hostile behavior. I am not even suggesting that we become combatants. Or that there be a development of a militant disposition. That is not what I'm saying.
By all means, I am directing you to look for a battle.
You got to choose your battles. If it's a spiritual battle, go ahead and fight. Go ahead. Live for God. Do the right thing anyway. Even if others don't like it, live for God.
Well, everybody needs to work on Sunday.
Nope.
Oh, it's mandatory overtime.
All right, then lay me off, because I will not be here. Amen. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to decide, am I going to serve the Lord all the time, everywhere? Am I going to serve God even when it's not convenient? Am I going to serve God when it's not easy? You see, the Bible instructs us as children of God. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Let me use scripture here. Follow peace with all men. And holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm telling you, our walk with God, it directs our path to heaven. Amen. You either are walking with God or you're not. Amen. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is not optional. God wants us to be holy because He is holy. We're to reject those unclean things, the things that will bring us away from God and into the world. That should be rejected. Romans 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, everything in you, all that you are, all that you know, everything that you have come to this point, live peaceably with all men. I'm not trying to incense or provoke you to battle. As much as it is possible, live at peace with all men. But when the line comes, I'm not crossing that line. I will not go there. I will not do that. You've got to decide. You have to choose. Amen. However, there are events that unfold or are placed in our very lap. We didn't choose it, but it just came there, that as a conscientious child of God, we dare not ignore. Amen. There are things that you are going to have to stand up for. Amen. You're going to have to live for God in church, at home, at work, and play. Everywhere, all the time, every day. There are times that we cannot hold our peace. We cannot ignore the wrong. We cannot act like everything is okay. There are things happening all around us that should have us up in arms and angry at the devil. David was provoked at the words of Goliath. There are things going on in the world that should provoke you to go toward God, to determine to live for the Lord. Dad, Mom, it's time to take a stand. Who's going to stand for your children if you don't? Dad, be the man. Be the priest of your home. Lead them toward God. Show them how to pray. Be the man of God that God wants you to be, that they have a man to follow.
be the mom, be the keeper of the home and the kids. God anointed you. God gave you that as a gift. Who is your girl running with? Who is she dating? How late is she staying out? What are they watching, listening to, reading? And yes, it is your business, mom and dad. Someone tell you, mind your own business? I am. Some boy comes to date your daughter. If they don't love God, if they don't put God first, do everything you can to chase him away. Do everything in your power to get that boy to leave. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Amen. Mom and dad, that is your business. Your family, your son, and your daughter are precious before God. And they should be precious in your eyes. And you should do everything in your power to see that they know who God is. That they can make the right choice. That they can choose the right path. That they will serve the Lord forever. You can say the same about the boys. Who is your son dating? Who is he running with? What time did he get home last night? What is he watching? What is he listening to and reading? Dad, that is your business. Well, someone might say, I don't want to be one of those parents that stick their noses into their kids' business. Well, you better be a parent that stick your nose in your kids' business. That is your job. That's what God has called you to do. That's what God has ordained you for. Some people might say, I'm tired of fighting with my kids. Oh, no. That's one battle you cannot give into. You cannot give up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there not a cause? We can live for God. When you live for God, you are the good guys. Amen. When you live for God, you are the example. Amen. Can we continue to sit back and do nothing? Can we afford to take the I am not going to get involved posture? Is there not a cause? There are times when a true child of God has to take a stand. We are sometimes faced with a situation that demands that we draw the line and declare that we are on the Lord's side. The 24th chapter of the book of Joshua is decrying idol worship. He stands to lose everything. His word could even spark a revolt that could cost him his life and the life of his family. He has to choose his direction very carefully. Joshua 24:15. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got to take a stand. You've got to stand up. You've got to say the truth. You've got to live for God. Praise. Who is on the Lord's side? Amen. Who will live for God? Who will speak the name of Jesus? 57% of Americans never attend church of any kind. Most of our population. 60% of men never attend church. 50% of adult women never attend. Adults who attend church regularly as a child are nearly 3 times as likely to be attending church when they're older. Amen. You know what? I have to raise my hand. Get up, Tommy. Put your clothes on. It's time to go to church. There was no, it wasn't a maybe or a might or if I feel like it. My parents brought me. It's not, you know, I'm thankful now. But there was a whole bunch of Sundays that I didn't want to go. Come on. Woo. You know what? It put something in me that has never left. I knew what was wrong. Now, there was a time I messed up and I didn't live right, but I knew I was messed up and wasn't living right. And then I get to make a choice. When I get married, when I have kids, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do everything in your power, all of your might, give it to God. Amen. It's amazing how many people think that they can go to church sporadically, you know, once in a while, and still be an overcoming Christian. It's the mindset of our world. We sleep 42 hours per week, work 40 hours a week, eat 14 hours a week, do chores 11 hours per week, watch television 8 to 12 hours per week. We go to church 2 hours on a Sunday, an hour or two on Monday, maybe a couple hours on Wednesday, 2, 4, depends on how often you come, 2, 4, or 6 hours a week. It's really quite small. It's not that much. But it will make such a huge difference in your life. It will make a mountain of difference in your life when you choose to serve the Lord, when you choose to come to the house of God, when the doors are open, when you choose to pray, when you choose to come to church, when you choose to serve the Lord. It will make all the difference in your life. 65% of Americans never pray. 91% of American households have a Bible. However, a mere 11% claim to read it. 55% of Americans oppose the teaching of creation in public schools. Only 1 in 5 adults say that they believe God really exists. I know God is real. Amen. It's not a question in my mind. Whew, I know God is real. 28% of Americans say that prayer should be completely banned from public schools. It's time that we declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what, musicians, come on. I'm closing right here. No matter what friends and family do, no matter what the media says, no matter what the school system teaches, no matter who likes it and who doesn't like it, no matter if I become an outcast, no matter if I'm misunderstood. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you stand with me? Would you lift your hands? Would you give Him praise? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Lord, I praise Your name. I worship You, Lord. I thank You, God. I magnify Your name. Jesus, I worship You. Lord, I am on Your side. I choose to serve the Lord. I praise Your holy name. I worship You, Jesus. I praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The baptismal tank is warm. You could be baptized today. You can receive what you need from God right now. You can go home different than when you came. Amen. The Lord God is able. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together. Praise the Lord. Come on to the altar. Come on and worship with me. Come on and join me. Come and praise the name of the Lord.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle. There's a table that You've prepared for me,
Jesus,
in the presence of my enemies. You laid down Your instruction there for me. This is how I fight my battle. And I believe You've overcome, and I will lift my song up, praise for what You've done.
This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
Oh, this is how I fight my battle. This is how. The valley, I know that You're with me. Surely Your goodness and Your mercy follow me. So my weapons are my praise and my testimony. This is how I fight my battle. Oh, and I believe You've overcome. And I will lift my song up, praise for what You've done. This is how I fight my battle. 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 Oh, this is how I fight my battle. Oh, this is how. It's a table that You've prepared for me. The presence of my enemies. You laid down Your instruction there for me. This is how I fight my battle. And I will lift my song of praise for what. what you've done. Oh, this is how I fight my battle. 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 Yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. Valley, I know that you're with me. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are my praise and my testimony. Now I fight my battle. Oh, and I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my sword. For what you've done. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. Oh, this is how I fight my battle. 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 Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Yes, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. 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 Oh, this is how. Hallelujah. God, I give you praise. Praise.
Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. That's the key. The key to winning your battles is being on the Lord's side. Amen. Look back in the Old Testament, and there's account after account, historical accounts of these battles that were overwhelming odds. Amen. And it wasn't even the people that were capable or able to fight. That they didn't have military might. They didn't have the numbers that it would have taken to sustain a victory. Amen. The key was they got on the Lord's side. And when they were on the Lord's side, the Lord fought for them. Amen. Victory after victory. Talk about living and walking in victory. Be on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're on the Lord's side, why don't you shout Jesus right now? Jesus! Hallelujah! Jesus! Praise God! Hallelujah! Amen. I want to be planted on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What an encouraging message. If that message wasn't encouraging to you, get on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to see everybody here tonight. Amen. Please keep praying for the different folks that came and visited during our revival services. Amen. Keep spreading the word. Amen. That God is doing something right here in Montville. Amen. God is doing a great thing. Amen. I can feel the responses. Amen. Feel what God is doing, and it's incredible. Amen. I can't get enough of what God wants to do in my life. Amen. Is anybody with me? Jesus, Lord, hallelujah. God, right now, Lord Jesus, would you bless us, Lord, with guidance and lead us, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, that you've done such great things, God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. It's good to see this young lady in the back. I didn't get your name, but don't run out. We want to talk to you, amen, and these brothers that are coming. Amen, it's good to see you again. Amen. Everybody else, so thankful that you're here. Amen. God is doing great things. Praise the Lord.